Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Trinity Podcast. What's the point? Where this week we are talking about what's the point of the music that we sing in worship. My name is Katie O'Connell, and I am joined with...
Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Tom.
And we have a very special guest. We're so excited about.
I'm so excited. Hi, I'm Frank Watkins. Great to see you. Oh, here or be here with everyone.
And Frank, tell me what you do here.
Wow, that's a great question. No, it's so much fun. I am a director of music and worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church. And in my roles and duties, I organize really all things music. So that includes the adult choir and the youth choirs and the crossword band and the 945 praise band. Also elements of worship like readers and communion and things of that sort. So things that pull the entire service together is what we kind of do here.
That's awesome. Yay. All right. So first, before we dive deeper into that, because I know Tom wants to talk so much about that.
He's got his notes ready.
He does. I want to know, though, first, what has your go-to playlist been so far?
Hold on. Let's clarify that.
Okay.
Playlist. Mm-hmm. Your playlist. Go-to playlist. For church music? Personal enjoyment?
Yeah.
Like you're home.
Yeah.
And maybe you're going to go for a walk and throw in some headphones
or drive or whatever.
Right. Yeah. What are we listening to recently?
Mm-hmm.
Am I first?
Whoever wants to be. Frank, do you want to go first?
Listen, it's Beyonce summer, right?
It has to be
Beyonce right now.
That's
Renaissance and the tour, everything. So I am geeked out on Beyonce right now.
I, for some reason, did not take you as a Beyonce guy.
Really?
And I'm not mad about it one bit.
So do you have any particular songs that you put on repeat or just the whole album?
Right now, the whole album.
Yeah.
But in general, I am more of a neo soul type of person. So I love music by Ledisi or by Jill Scott or things of that sort. Kind of in that vein. So kind of the mellow, smooth, kind of jazz influence. Samara Joy right now is amazing as well. Love her. So things like that is where
But right now,
it's, I mean, who else is there right now?
Oh, that's so fair.
I mean, I'll go next.
All right, go.
So, Taylor Swift.
I knew you were going to say that.
Of course you did, because my daughter and I are going to see her in Minneapolis at the end of June. And so we just... That's all the two of us are listening to, because we're we have to know as many words as we possibly can. And there's a lot of songs.
I will say I am pretty stoked that she is doing the Speak Now Taylor's version, because that was my favorite album. Mm-hmm. And I have been resisting listening to it until her version comes out.
Yep.
And so I'm actually stoked for that. I'm not a Swiftie, but I'm stoked.
But that's not going to be till after we see her in concert. That's July that comes out, I think.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not seeing her, so
That's true.
I don't have to listen to her.
So we have a couple different playlists, because there's, you can get a playlist where it's the songs that will be at the concert. But then that does feel limiting, because sometimes I want other things. But
what are you hoping is going to be her surprise song?
Oh,
I know she's done a ton, but she's constantly switching
what?
It up.
I don't know, because I haven't studied the playlist for the tour well enough to know what she's not doing.
Sure.
I just know that the All Too Well 10-minute version is, I just cannot wait for that.
Because
we've
good.
Definitely got all the words down for
Where's that. Where's the concert? Is the concert in Minneapolis?
It's in Minneapolis at US Bank Stadium, and we're seeing her on my birthday.
Really?
So,
happy birthday.
We're outfit planning and it's going to be good.
I might sneak over to Minneapolis next week to see Janet Jackson. I just might. I just might need to make that happen.
Do it.
That would be amazing.
I just might do it.
Oh, do it.
Good stuff. Okay. So that's my playlist.
Tom, what's yours?
Okay. Well, I'm not cool.
We know. It's okay.
So I've been recently listening to not Zach Brown, but Zach Bryan, a local or a clergy couple here in Eau Claire. Their son plays fiddle for them. So I've been listening to some Zach Bryan lately.
Oh. And what kind of music is that? I mean, it has a fiddle, so.
Yeah, so.
That helps.
So Phil and Lori would call it new-ish country, and I would say that's it's not that sort of country music. It's okay. More interesting. It's more of the bluegrass Americana style.
Oh, so like Cooley Boys style.
Yeah. So okay. Like Cooley Boys, Avett Brothers or Avett Brothers, yep, like that sort of vein.
Trampled by Turtles.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Very much that.
Ooh. Cool, okay.
So
I vibe with that.
That's good. And then the other day, I had like my 2000s like. Alt rock sort of stuff on.
Yes.
And Olive was digging the song "This Is the Story of a Girl."
This is the story of a girl.
Oh, I forgot. Cried a river
and
drowned
the whole world. And Olive was screaming, like, "This is so much fun!" And she's jamming in the car. So we're reliving my childhood.
I love that. I love that. That's been my playlist lately. So okay, for those who don't know, I'm getting married next April, and my fiance and I, we don't like a lot of the same music. However, we both jam out to like that early 2000s, you know, early 2010s, like pop punk alternative, like My Chemical Romance. And we listen to This Is the Story of a Girl all the time. Just tons of stuff like that. And so that has been my go-to. And for our wedding, we really want to have like a pop punk hour where it's just all of these songs, like Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco.
And all the grandparents leave.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. But I'm just stoked to channel my inner emo kid and just go hard.
Were you really an emo kid?
Here's the thing, I really wanted to be, but my parents were like, you are absolutely not dressing like that. But like, I
love that.
Yes, I was that wannabe emo kid that my parents would not let me be, but I was very much like, I'm gonna listen to all the sad music because
Dashboard Confessional.
Right? I'm like, I gotta rebel. I was goody two shoes.
You shopped at Hot Topic a lot, didn't you?
I did. I still pop in there every once in a while. It's not as good as it once was.
Is it still open?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon is not taking down Hot Topic.
I know, right? No. That's still open.
It's
the teenagers need some place to go.
Right? Well, and it's weird because they're definitely, like, everything that they have in front is all, like, this Disney stuff, like, dark Disney stuff. So it's just very interesting to, like, have, you know, gone in and see all of this super emo, like goth stuff, you know, to just Disney. And I'm like, well, what's happening? But it's fine.
That's weird.
It is weird. But that's what I've been.
Dark Disney.
Wow. Yeah, it's weird. Like all the Disney villains.
Okay.
And then some. And Stitch. Mm. Stitch is big there for some reason. I don't know.
I don't get it. All right. Anyway, we're gonna bring it together,
yeah,
now, friends.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. So we are here with our friend Frank to talk about, well, the last couple episodes we've been talking about worship. And we did an episode where we talked about sermons, mm-hmm, and what's the point. We talked about worship in general, and Tom told us all about who was the guy that had the definition for
Justin Martyr.
That's right, Justin Martyr, who talked about what worship is.
And he's like a bajillion years old, and his name's Justin.
Justin.
Not Mustin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it spelled like J-U-S-T-Y-N or Y-N-E?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's I-N, but.
It's like probably the old English spelling.
I don't know. Was he English? Probably, maybe not.
I thought he was Greek.
Okay, you look that Google up. So we talked about that, and then our last episode was super random worship stuff.
Yeah.
And now we have Frank here to talk about music and worship.
Woo-woo!
Because that's what he does. So I'm going to say, Tom.
Yeah.
You owe you with all the research and all the questions.
Hardly.
What have you got for us?
Okay, so Trinity has three, I guess you could say, usual practices of worship at 8:15 on Sundays. Mm-hmm. We have our quote-unquote traditional worship. Mm-hmm. At 9:45 on Sunday, we have our quote-unquote contemporary worship. And then on Wednesdays, we have during the program year. We have at 6 o'clock a crossword youth midweek.
Casual is one of the words we use.
Oh yeah, casual. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So three different patterns or styles of worship. And I'm wondering, just to start off, like what kind of weaves them all together, or what role does music play in each of those? Because they are very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think overall music is, to me, music is the expression of the human experience through sound. It's kind of my forefront there. When it comes to worship, I think, of course, music is integral to every aspect of worship. And it's really interesting here that Trinity has these kind of three different yet connected services every Sunday. And so I think traditional, to me, that reads, you know, more liturgy, really the kind of foundation of worship and faith and belief, which is singing those hymns, right? And so there's a lot of that happens in the A15, whereas with more contemporary, it's a little less liturgy and using more contemporary worship songs as a path or an avenue for worship. And then with the youth service on Wednesday nights, the more casual service, again, geared towards a different kind of population of the community, a little bit less liturgy, again, more contemporary music, more in the style of the youth or those who are, you know, helping to lead worship at that time. So it's really interesting that we have these three different patterns and how it's all woven together through, you know, through faith, through belief systems, but also through the tradition of the Lutheran Church.
All right, so I'm not asking you, like, pick your favorite. So what, because I know some people grow up in one, like, in a congregation that only does one. Mm-hmm. Like, I very much grew up in the congregation that was only traditional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some people I know only do the more contemporary or liturgy light is what I call it. So what's the value of liturgy? Because oftentimes people are just like, ugh, snooze fest, liturgy, gross.
I think it's valuable. I think it's really important to the statements of faith, to the faith, into what Lutherans believe. For me, I have always loved liturgy. I just love it. It's just, to me, I grew up singing hymns in church, and it's always had really a special place in my heart. And so I'm so happy that we do that here. Over my time, I've worked to increase the amount of liturgy. I've kind of snuck in more elements as we go on, because I just love having that sense of tradition.
Well, and I think about what music does in our brain, you know, and things stick in our brain more. Like, I always think about in the musical Hamilton. So we have listened to the song where President George Washington steps down. I'll bring this around, don't worry. So when he steps down, and we love that song, right? And there's parts of it that are spoken and parts of it that are sung. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like the same sentence, and in the middle they go from spoken to sung. And I find that I know all the words that are sung, and as soon as it gets to the spoken part, I'm like, oh, I don't remember this as well. And so, like, music makes things stick in our head. And so having that sung liturgy, especially, I think about, like, what does that do to increase our faith or to keep us involved in the moment? Or, you know, we have, I was telling Tom recently about, you know, being in my kitchen, and my husband, Herschel, sings and makes noise all the time. And, you know, he's like making dinner one day, and he's just like breaking out, "Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord," and like jamming out to it. I'm like, where did that even come from? And now it's like on a loop the last couple weeks in his head. And I'm like, okay, that's, I love liturgy, but time and place. But I just think about, like, what does that do to our brain? Right. Like, music in worship, like, it sticks in our brain in a different way.
Yeah, and it helps to fuel, it helps to teach, it helps, you know, to fulfill us. I mean, think about how even the youngest kids, how do kids learn? It's through music,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so it's just I mean, every culture, every society is infused with music, and it's what is used to keep the culture together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mind is blown right now, because, like, you guys just put worship and why, like, music in worship, both, all the worships for all very different reasons. Like, it's just a new light right there, because it is a, you're part welcome. That yeah right holy buckets
yeah well okay. Luther always talked about the importance of the hymn of the day, or the hymn that follows the sermon, has to hit home on the preaching points because mm-hmm. he firmly believed, like, people are going to forget the sermon. Mm-hmm. But if they can remember the song, exactly. maybe that will have some recall towards some sermon preaching points.
I do have beef, though, and it's because of you, Frank.
Okay.
Because
I'm here for it. I'm
ready. The, right. No, so this past Sunday, during your sermon, yes. Frank texts me, and he goes, Days of Elijah.
I was like, we should just broke out in song.
Right? I was like, and I just wanted all these little 8:15ers to just jam out to Days of Elijah. And I'm like, God, that would have been the perfect song.
It worked so well.
It did. So I have beef with that, but it's forgiven.
You know what's always interesting to me? Like, oftentimes I will, you know, I'll hear the sermon or I'll hear the scripture that, you know, uh-huh. and then it's like, oh, that song pops into my mind that relates perfectly. And sometimes, like, not even knowing, like, Days of Elijah, I knew the story of Elijah, I knew all that, yeah, but yeah. I didn't really connect until I thought, oh, yeah, he just said that. I was like, oh, now, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
It's sometimes funny how things, sometimes for me, I speak in the language of music. You know, mm-hmm. I will hear and, you know, I learn most often through music. So even just hearing the sermon, sometimes I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. Here's, yeah. And I was like, oh, now that makes more sense yeah. to me.
Uh-huh. Is there, so going, I don't know if you're going to touch on this at all, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping the gun, but is there ever a moment, though, where, because you have music planned out, like, way in advance, and is there ever a moment where you hear a sermon, and then it comes to the hymn of the day or the song of the day, and you just go, that did not hit home?
I think that happens, because, you know, we never quite know, like, I will know the readings, but I will never quite know what the take is going to be
right,
on that reading,
right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And how the pastors will, how they will, you know, infer that or, you know, deliver the... Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, that didn't quite match. But the days where it's like, oh, that was perfect.
Yeah.
I'm just like, those always make up for it.
Yeah. So are you saying that you would like the pastors to write their sermons further ahead of time so that you can pull the musical themes out of there?
Hey, I can neither confirm nor deny recently that a sermon was finished like 10 minutes before worship began. Okay. So.
It's fine. What happened, though, to you saying that you don't touch it after Thursday?
You know, I was busy. I was very busy. Goal. Yeah. That's a goal. Yeah.
No, it's fine.
It's all fine.
It's so funny.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about contemporary worship, traditional worship, and the liturgy, if you will, of the traditional service that we have established in the hymnal, right? And liturgies change throughout time. Like in the newest, well, not the newest, but the ELW, the Evangelical Lutheran Worship Book, there's like a newer setting written by folks from Dakota Road, so more guitar-y, friendly, things like that. But what do you think about changing some of the language we use in the liturgy? I'm just thinking of, you know, we talk, like the Kyrie is beautiful. However, mm-hmm. people might not know what Kyrie means, right? It's Lord have mercy. So like, what's your take on contextualizing liturgy or rewriting things like that?
You know, I think it's always important. I think the reason that there are different liturgies, like you mentioned Dakota Road and the more guitar-friendly focus, is to reach people where they are. I feel like and I could be wrong, but I feel like the church was making an attempt to reach different populations. Like there's like a more of a gospelized version of liturgy. There's ones that are in Spanish as well. I mean, it's just the whole attempt to reach the population, to reach the masses. And so I think it's fine to, you know, to update the language. I think, you know, as time changes, we need to change with time. There is something to me that is still special about that Latin text, just because it has been around, and that's what the kind of is the foundation of all of these Christian religions. So I don't know. I think yeah, absolutely. I think that it's important to honor what is, but also, yes, at the same time, to contextualize it and to update it with the more modern language so that people understand. I think the whole thing about Luther, right, was to make sure that it was in the language of the people, right, to make sure that everyone had this relationship and could be a part of it, not just someone preaching, you know, in the language that they couldn't understand. So
it sounds very Lutheran, like a very both and
kind
of take. Was that what you were doing to their time?
No.
Were you doing both and? Like, I don't know. Like, I
I mean, it makes me think of, like, the King James translation of the Bible, which is beautiful and clearly inaccessible and not contemporary. But there's still something really beautiful about, like, you know, people have scripture passages memorized that are, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. And, you know, there's, like, that's not how we talk now. Yes. And so it's important to have those contemporary versions that are easier to understand and and have in our everyday life. But also the more traditional ones are still beautiful and valuable and have a place.
Yes.
That's my take.
So how do we expand our horizons to embrace more liturgical styles, even musical instruments?
I mean, because sometimes people have a hard time with changing anything, like like saying the updated Lord's Prayer is not something some people are super excited to
or
do.
Even the Apostles' Creed, Catholic or universal, like that.
Oh, sure.
That's a struggle. So how do we widen our horizons?
Yeah, Frank, how do we do that?
Yeah, please tell us, because yes, let's do it.
I think that's a great question. You know, again, I think it's about meeting people where they are and slowly introducing them to it. I think, you know, as always, transparency is great. Let's explain why this is happening. Let's explain. Let's talk about it, right? Yeah. Let's be really strategic in how we introduce it to people in a way that it doesn't offend anyone or turn them away, but be respectful that they are, you know, people have their belief systems too. So we'd be respectful of everyone's beliefs and feelings. I'm not quite sure if I gave you an answer about how we do it. I think you have to be intentional about it. Yeah. I think introducing it slowly, but being transparent about why you were doing certain things.
Yeah. I just, okay, so this is a me problem, is that I feel like sometimes I get stuck in our patterns of worship, and I get to experience all three. I just want to hear something new. I want, I want the Spirit to speak to me through a new way. And I don't know, sometimes it's just like, oh, this would be so, like, I know certain hymns, like, oh, this would be so great if it had that Latin samba vibe to it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that would be, that'd be so much different. It would make my worship experience different. So it's more of a me problem that I want. I want to be fed in other ways.
No, but I think that's fair though, because I'm in that boat too, where I love changing things up, because you just never know what's going to speak to you. And I'm that person that, like, I grew up with a lot of the same, you know, traditional worship styles. And after a point, I'm like, okay, this just kind of is starting to feel stale, versus generations that are older than me. So, like, my grandparents, for example, they don't want any of that new stuff. And I think partially it's because this is how they've always worshipped, but I also think that it's because that is how the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks to them. And so how do we get the two to mesh, and is there a good way? But I think, Frank, you just answered that too, is you got to be intentional about it.
Well, and realizing that, like, there's not one right answer.
Right.
I mean, I think about how much I appreciate it when I go home and I go to church with my parents and it's a liturgy or music that I know and so I can participate in. Whereas sometimes when they come, well, like when they came here for confirmation a few weeks ago and my mom was like freaked out by, sorry, Shirley, was freaked out because we used intinction for communion and she had never seen that before. And it just totally threw her off and took her out of the experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are reasons to have things the same and not change, because then, especially for, you know, people who maybe don't come to worship very often.
Everyone kind of knows what to expect.
Right. So there is something valuable in knowing what to expect and having it the same. But also, like, then there's Pastor Tom, who is in worship three times a week and is like, please, for the love, can we try something new?
Big mood.
Yeah. I came from, you know, I've served many different places, but I've come from places where it is more spontaneous. Like, you know, we can easily like change a hymn. Like, that didn't fit. Let's change it really quickly. But it's a little bit harder. I couldn't, like, tell Kay, like, Katie, go get a new PowerPoint really quick. Right. You know?
Right.
Like, I have a new hymn in mind. That it doesn't happen this easily here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of structure.
Yeah.
But I'm game for it.
Ooh, okay.
What if we tried worship sometime where, like, we didn't have any music planned?
Mm.
Oh, and then yeah. We just waited and we're like, what do you feel like right
yeah.
now?
That'd be so fun.
That's easy.
Yeah. It we is. So in my internship, that's what we did. We started in the summer, we shifted from two services to one, and we always started with the first, we just did like a hymn sing to start. So we like three or four hymns, mm-hmm. and it was, okay, pick them out, raise your hand, let's do it. And yeah. people got to pick yeah. a hymn.
It was so fun.
So much fun.
I love that.
Well, that's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus.
Is it easy for musicians? Yeah. I mean, I would think that might be hard for musicians no. to be like, well, I don't know that song. Mm-mm. But no.
Well, and chances are they're picking the standards, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. So I have a question, and this goes back. It ties into this, but it also ties into the being intentional part. So switching things up like this and being intentional about it, I feel like one of the places that I see the most struggle is figuring out, you know, when the best time is to do it. Is there ever going to be like the best time? Does that make sense? Or do
for
you just,
what?
Just like, okay, so if we wanted to implement like a new... Like saying the Apostles' Creed with, what was it?
Updated language.
Yeah, updated sure. language. So, you know, switching to that, is there ever going to be like a good time for it? Or is it one of those things where no time's ever going to be perfect? You just kind of have to do it, right? Because I feel like things just, in a lot of spaces, a lot of churches, it just keeps getting put off because it's not a good time. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna channel my adaptive leadership training.
Please.
And say that, like, it's about helping to people change at a rate that they can accept.
Yes.
Right.
And so not doing everything all at
right.
once.
Right.
Or as I've heard it said, disappointing people at a rate that they can deal with.
Yep.
Right, right, right.
Right. So yeah, not doing everything all at the same time. But,
right.
You know, and that's not just in worship changes, but like read the room.
Right.
What's
right,
the vibe
right.
of the congregation right, right now? Like, is everybody freaking out because
yes.
a pastor's leaving? Okay, probably not, which they're not. Calm down. right. But like, that's not a time to like introduce a new
right.
everything.
New format or
Tom's
something.
Tom's leaving. Right. All right. Let's change the language for everything.
We're using the First Nations Bible now, so.
Oh, that's so amazing. Have you gotten a copy of that?
I've read some of it. I haven't gotten a copy yet, though.
That sounds super cool.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about this.
I didn't either.
Yes.
Oh.
It's a new translation? Or is it just a format? It's called the First Nations Bible.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think I would call it a translation, much like The Message isn't a translation.
Sure.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bluegrass worship.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Stand-up bass.
Yes.
Banjo-lele.
Banjo-lele.
It's got to happen.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay. And so talking about having music enhance our experiences of worship. Like for me, my first beer and hymns was like a holy thing.
Mm.
Sitting at Urban Growler just off of seminary classes, drinking some brewskis mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. singing with the flesh pots of Egypt was just like,
ooh.
Oh mm-hmm. my gosh, could this get any better?
Right. Like we did this in December where
yeah.
we had a
Carols and Barrels.
Carols and Barrels.
That was
yeah.
so fun.
It was, yeah. yeah it, just,
it really was.
Just, yeah. Singing the faith
mm-hmm.
with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And not in church was just amazing. So
mm-hmm.
that's what singing is all about, especially congregational singing. It's about singing together,
right?
And that connection. So I think any opportunity to do it outside of the four walls is a great opportunity.
Right.
So
and then could we have the music printed with four-part harmony so that those of us who can't make up the harmonies but who can read it can harmonize? Because that's my favorite. That's what I need.
Mm-hmm.
That we did that at, I was at the Extravaganza, the like youth ministry gathering for ELCA youth people. And they do a, oh gosh, the
cranberry jam.
The cranberry jam. Yes, the cranberry jam, where it's like two on guitars, like real good guitars. And they've just got like a list of, you know, 50 songs to choose from and shout it out. And everybody brings their own drinks. And,
it's so fun.
And it's so fun. And yeah, and we're just singing like old timey hymns. Uh-huh. With just a guitar and so fun.
Yeah.
I love
that. Let's do that. Let's do that, Frank.
Of course. I love the name Cranberry Jam too. That is such a cool name.
Right. It was because of the cranberry hymnal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we call the purple hymnal now?
Do we have a purple hymnal?
All creation sings.
Okay. Does Trinity have
Frank has the leader copy and a regular copy, I think.
Yes, I have a leader copy and regular copy. We don't have that yet because we just bought the ELW.
We're a little behind 15
years later.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh.
I didn't know there was a new hymnal.
We call it Grape Jam.
Grape Jam.
The Grape
Jam. Or Plum Jam. Or
no, Grape Jam.
Grape Jam.
That's where it's at. You did it. We're going to have a Grape Jam at the Brewing Project in the garage.
In the garage. Though, okay, I think if we do Carols and Barrels again, we have to go upstairs.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
There were too many people.
Yeah. That was, yeah.
And I feel like it's just going to get bigger, too.
Sorry, going back to Cranberry Jam, could they brew like a special beer, like a special seasonal cranberry beer or something like that?
Oh, my gosh.
I bet they could.
Guys, we're going to make this happen.
That would be awesome.
That we should aim for like a fall event, like welcome back.
Yes.
That would be so much fun.
All right, we're going to make it happen.
We'll have to import from Door County or something. Or no, that's cherries.
Okay, so for people listening, they should email Katie with songs to put on a playlist.
Yes.
And what else? I don't know. Whatever else people are thinking that we need to know in order to make this happen.
Yeah.
Or if you want to be the person in charge of making this happen.
Yeah.
Email Katie. Katie, what's your email address?
Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at trinity-ec.org.
All right. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah, please. That sounds so fun.
Cranberry and grape jam. You got it.
Oh, love it.
Well, Frank, do you have any last minute nuggets for us about worship and music and all the fun things?
Like I said before, you know, worship and music is all about congregational singing. It's all about being a part of it. And so we always want musicians and singers to be a part of our program. So please, you know, if you have little ones who want to sing, let's get them in choir. If you want to sing or if you play an instrument, I don't care your skill level or what you play. If you have an old flute at home, pull out that old dusty flute. We will get you.
Be the next Lizzo.
Yes, we will get you involved. So we want everyone to be involved in music making in some capacity. Yeah.
And I'm going to say, too, even if you're not one who wants to be a leader in music, like when we're in worship, that's like congregational singing is just from the seats. Yeah. Like it's not just for the leaders. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, come on, guys around me. Like
sing loud.
Sing out.
So,
let's do this.
So, Frank, I have a question for you.
Sure.
This summer, how can people get involved with singing, leading music, leading worship, whatever it might be?
I feel like that's a leading question.
That's
like,
you know what he's going to say. Thank you, Katie, for that great question. Yes, we are still in need of summer musicians to help us lead worship throughout the entire summer. So please sign up at Clipboard Central if you want to share. We encourage youth to share as well. So parents, if your students have been taking lessons and instruments or singing at school, please let them come and share their gifts this summer. We would love to have them. You can either email me at frank@trinity-ec.org or sign up on Clipboard Central. We would love to have everyone participate and be a part of music at Trinity.
And so would they just like need to have like a song prepared or two songs?
It could be
something?
A song. It could be a little duet. It could be even a praise dance. It could be, you know, my kids are home from college and they play ukulele or guitar and sing, and just you know, just parents, just sign them up. We would love it.
Don't ask them.
Just don't ask them. Just sign them up. But
you're singing in church today.
He did that to me this morning.
I did.
He comes up with his clipboard and he's like, sign up.
Oh, I have it here for Heather and her family.
Okay,
as well.
Good. But he just shoves it at me. He's like, sign up. You're doing a solo. And I was like, what? But no, seriously, join us because we love hearing it. Everybody, we always love hearing new people.
Yeah.
Sing. Or if you have sang here before or played music, played an instrument here before or danced here before and you haven't for a while, we would love to have you back.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite worship moments was when my husband and my daughter did a duet and led music. Yes. And she was like 7, 8 years
cute.
Old and
he's
playing the guitar and she's singing and it was adorable.
That's so cute.
It's the best.
Is Olive going to do anything?
She'll have to find someone to accompany her.
You're not going to do a duet, Tom?
I'll play ukulele for her. You tell her that.
Though she... So at the wedding this past weekend, they had a pool. So lots of pool time. And what did we play? Mermaids. Oh, Jonah.
Oh, I love it.
Of course you did.
And I got to be the whale. So I kept going, blurp, blurp. Now you have to sing, Dad. No, I don't.
That's awesome.
That's so cute. All right.
Yeah,
so
but great. it was kind of frightening when she was shouting at nasty Ninevites. I'm like, are you calling other kids here nasty Ninevites?
Right, that's but amazing. See the music, it sticks in
it
their
did,
head.
It did. Uh-huh. Full circle here. Full circle.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Frank, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. So much fun to be here.
Come back again.
Oh, yes, anytime.
Definitely. Until next time, which I have no idea what we're going to be talking about in our next series.
We're doing a summer series.
Oh, that's right.
And we are. After we're done recording, we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
So stay tuned
yes.
to the people listening for our summer series. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great.
As always.
Yeah. Yeah.
But. Thank you so much. We appreciate you all, and we'll catch you later.
See you later.
See you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.